So we had been on Yudalit Amud Aleph. We did the Mishnah and the opening piece of Gemara after the Mishnah as well. The Mishnah talked about pounding spices in a mortar and potentially doing it with a shinoi in some kind of an unusual way. We talked about different types of altered forms of doing it, altering the mortar, using a different implement for the pestle. And then we went off into the question of why grinding should require any kind of a shinoi. Why don't I just call it ochel nefesh? And that was the bulk of the discussion last week. But the opening Gemara, right after the Mishnah, had noted that everybody seemed to agree that salt required a shinoi. And the question was why. So we had two different answers, one from Rav Huna, one from Rav Chisda. Rav Huna's answer, or at any rate, one of the answers was, we didn't actually name them, one of the answers was that you know before Yontif you're going to need salt. So therefore there's no justification in waiting for Yontif. You should have made sure you had a supply before Yontif. If you're going to do it on Yontif, you need a shinoi. The other answer, the second one that we brought, is that you don't lose anything by having your salt done in advance. It's not going to become less salty, so to speak, unlike spices. And therefore, again, you should have done it in advance. Both are points regarding the fact that it should have been done ahead of time. And then the Gemara asked, so is there a difference between the two reasons? Does it matter which reason I choose? And we said yes. One difference would be, what if I knew my menu for Yom Tov? I knew who was coming and how many people were coming and what I was going to make. And therefore, I should have had the spices ready beforehand. If I take the argument that what we're saying is you knew you were going to need salt, well, I knew I was going to need these spices. On the other hand, if I take the approach that says it's because spices lose their taste, salt doesn't, it doesn't matter what I knew beforehand. I still would have waited until Yontif to do the spices. The second nafkamina, the second distinction is, if we say that the reason is loss of taste, and salt doesn't lose its taste, spices do, well, then what about a spice that does not lose its taste? And we gave saffron as the example of that. So that was immediately following the Mishnah, the first five or six lines after the Mishnah. We're now up to Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel in this discussion. And he takes a position that is entirely different from everything that we've said until now. In our Mishnah, again, Beis Shammai said spices require a heavy shinoi. I'm sorry, spices require a shinoi, salt requires a heavy shinoi. And Beis Hillel said in the Mishnah, spices require spices require no shinoi, and salt requires a light shinoi. That was what we had said in the Mishnah. So now, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, kol hanidoch nidoch kedarkan vafilu melach. He says, no shinoi. Everything that gets pounded in with a mortar and pestle, everything that gets crushed, is crushed normally. I don't care if it's spices, I don't care if it's salt, I don't care if it's saffron, it doesn't make a difference. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ba'amrit melach ba'yashinui. We said salt requires a shinui. Even Beis Hillel said salt requires a shinui. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's because it's a machlokas tanoim. Huda Omar ki haitana. That follows the following sage and the following brisa. Disanya Omar Rabbi Meir lo nechleku Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel al hanidochin shenidochin kedarkan umelach imahen. He says Rabbi Meir took the position. Rabbi Meir took the position that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you grind spices normally with salt. Lo nechleku ela lidocha bifnei asma. The only question is, what if you're going to do salt on its own? Shebe shamai omri melach bepachu be'etz haparur litzli avololik deira. Where Beis Shammai says that salt is ground up using a pach, not the regular mortar, but a jug instead, a wooden spoon of some kind, instead of the normal type of a pestle that they would use, and litzli. You can only do the amount of salt that you would use when roasting. Avalo likadera, not the quantity of salt you would use if you're putting it in a pot. And the idea here is that you use less salt when you're roasting than you do when you're salting food to be boiled up. So Beis Shammai's position is, if you're going to
there's nothing to do with kashrut.
No, it's about, right. I always wonder that when I read this. Are we talking about the kashrut? But I can't find anyone who actually says that. Mm-hmm. The statement that Rabbi Meir makes is that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree spices can be pounded normally, and if you're doing salt with them, then the salt also can be crushed normally. No distinctions. The only question is, if you're going to do salt on its own, in that case, Beis Shammai says, shinuyim across the board. A different mortar, a different pestle, and only small quantities. Beis Hillel omrim b'chol davar. And Beis Hillel says, nah, do it with anything.
What's the logic of it being allowed to be done with the spices?
I would imagine, because it's less visible that you are crushing salt, and the act of crushing, since it's going along with everything else, is unchanged.
So is this Mars Ein now when you're doing it by itself?
No, but I think I should have said a second point first. You're not doing any more grinding. In other words, they're all mixed together. You're making garlic salt or whatever this is. So since they're all mixed together, you don't do any extra pounding for the sake of the salt. So there's nothing wrong. And the fact that it's mixed together will also guarantee you don't even have an appearances issue.
Is it because once you're doing the other spices, you're permitted to do the salt as well?
Well, it's in the same mix. In other words, when he says you do them together, he means literally together. Mm-hmm. So you're not adding to anything.
So we're merely saying our Mishnah is wrong?
Actually, I'm sorry, I have to correct that. Take a look at Rashi, please, on Imahem. A little tiny Rashi there, Imahem. Melach v'tavlin ke'echad. He says salt and spices together, which is what I had assumed, that they're really being done together. But little asterisk there takes you into the margin and quotes the Maharshal, who says, no. He says, v'lo b'vas achas, el v'pam achas ze achar ze. He says it's at one sitting. One right after the other. So then the question is, what's the Maharshal's read? In other words, Rashi, I understand. I'm allowed to do the entire thing at once because I'm not adding in anything in terms of my activity, so what's the big deal if salt gets ground up as well? The question is, what is the thinking of Maharshal when he makes that comment? So there are a few different places where you can find the Maharshal writing. He has different compilations, but I'm going to take a fast look at his Chachma Shlomo under the Maharshal, because that's a likely candidate for where this comment shows up, and maybe he explains what he's talking about there. Yeah, no, it's just a direct quote. That's a direct quote from the Chachma Shlomo. He says, Melach matafim kiachod. He says, Pirish v'lo b'vas achas, ela b'pam achas ze achar ze. He doesn't explain why.
He mentions the Maharam down below. He says, no, it's a garth, tavlin in sora, el shinui zuta.
Well, that's true, but that's not the point for this. It's a separate point regarding tavlin. The Maharam doesn't have anything on this point. So why is it that he'll say if you're doing the spices, it's okay to do the salt? If you believe, as we had talked about last time, that tochein, in the discussion. Well, no, in the discussion that we had last time, we talked about why it was that we wouldn't allow grinding the spices under ochel nefesh. Right?
The salt amount, actually, he says it is because of kosher.
Oh, was he quoting?
He says 11a and note 18 below, note 18.
I don't know, if you see it, let me know. But last week when we talked about why tochein isn't just out and out permitted under ochel nefesh, remember that discussion? So we gave three answers, right? One answer that we gave was that it was because we talked about the issue of nothing being permitted before lisha, before baking, right? And we said that either it's gzeiras hakasuv, and therefore you're not allowed to do it. Remember we had this discussion, we read the Rashi, I mean, I barely remember it, so I can't hold you responsible if you don't. But but we gave three different explanations. One explanation.
Which may be Dureta, may not be Dureta, where the Rashi is because of Mibodhyam.
Right.
And then we had an argument whether his Mibodhyam meant it was a Dureta or a Drabanan.
Right.
We had three different explanations of that.
Correct. But the third approach, which we said is the Rambam's approach, is that it's a Drabanan. The whole concern that we have of make sure you do this before Yom Tov was a Derabanan, because we don't want people delaying their work into Yom Tov itself, right? We talked about when it's the type of thing which people do far in advance in that whole discussion. So maybe the answer to why they would be okay with this long-term... I'm sorry, they would be okay saying if you're doing spices, you can also do salt, is because fundamentally you're doing the spices anyway. So it's not like this is really going to add more to your loss of Yom Tov. The fact that you're going to also now do the salt along with it. You're already pounding stuff anyway. Maybe that's why he's okay with it.
I mean, Steinfeld just has it the way Rashi has it, that it's mixed together. But yeah. What I don't understand, our Mishnah says that Beit Shammai holds that for the tablet you have to do a shinui.
Yeah.
Rav Meir says Beit Shammai holds that they don't. I mean, he's giving a case. We're saying that the melech.
But we didn't complete this brisa yet. We're not done with this brisa. But yeah, so the mayor says that the view of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is spices are fine.
Right, which is contrary to our Mishnah.
Contrary to our Mishnah. That's exactly right. So, again, what we're saying here is that. What we're saying is that we have this view that says that Beis Shammai is good with the spices, and Beis Hillel is good with the spices, as long as you do them alone. When it comes to, with the spices and the salt that you're doing with them, the debate is, what if you're doing the salt itself? Beis Shammai omer melach bepach ubeitza parur litzli avol lekedera. Beis Shammai wants you to alter it three different ways, mortar, pestle, and quantity. Ubeis Hillel omer b'chol davar. Beis Hillel says no. The salt can be done, even if it's alone, however you do it. To which the Gemara says, Bechol davar salka daitach. You really think that? You think that you could do it with anything? Ela emo lichol davar. So no, we change that and say, we don't mean bechol davar, we mean lichol davar, for everything. Which is, and that meaning, what's that again? Lichol davar, meaning that, if you take a look at Rashi, l'chol davar, ba'afilu l'kdeira, even if you're using the large quantity for the, like you use for food being boiled up in a pot, v'al karachach kedarka amri k'chol derach shitas hashas, de'alma nechleku dung... Oh, right, this is actually a separate point. I'm not ready for that point yet. I thought I was ready for that. But what he's fundamentally saying is, any quantity in any manner is going to be fine. That's the statement that, yes, Beis Hillel is making. I'm not ready yet for the rest of that Rashi. That's the statement, and that's what supports Rabbi Yehuda quoting Shmuel. When he says you can crush everything normally, even salt, the answer is I have a brisa to support me. Clear? That's what he says. And then the Gemara goes further and says maybe we'll need a little bit of a shinui. Amale Rav Acha Bardla Lebrei. Rav Acha Bardla says to his son, Ki daiches, when you pound salt, when you crush salt, atzli atzluye v'doch. Incline the mortar on its side and crush it that way. So don't do it the normal way. Turn the thing on its side. That's his David. Then we get a story involving Rav Sheshes, who, remember, was blind. That matters in this story. Rav Sheshes shama kol buchna. Rav Sheshes heard the sound of the mortar. Amar, hay lav migave de besoyu. He says, that's not my house doing that, because we wouldn't do that on Yom Tov. To which the Gemara says, v'dilma atzluye atzli, but maybe they just tilted on its side. No, Deshame Davat Salil Kale, Rav Sheshes was able to tell, this is why I point out his blindness, maybe it doesn't, it affects his acuity of hearing. He could tell the sound wasn't clear the way it would be if the mortar was being held upright. Vidilma tavlin havu. Maybe these were spices, and therefore it's okay. You can do the spices normally. It's only the salt that requires inclining the mortar. No, that's a different sound. Tavlin navuche manbach kalayu. The tavlin is more of a coarse sound. Navuche manbach is a term for barking. So it would have been a different type of a sound. That's not the sound that you get when you do salt. Salt and spices are different. Yeah. Well, that's on the first point that he had made about the clarity of it. So what we see here is that even though the Mishnah said there may be a need for shinui when it comes to spices, right? We had this discussion back in the Mishnah, and Beis Shammai at least wanted a shinui for spices. He's saying for sure no shinui for spices, and even no shinui for salt. If you're doing it with the spices, and then we said that Beis Hillel said even without the spices you can do the salt and there's no problem. And then we have the Amoraim saying do a little bit of a shinui and incline the mortar on its side. So in practice, this requires a little bit of clarification in terms of, so what do we do after we have all of these different opinions? So what is life supposed to be like? What are we supposed to be doing with our spices? So take a look at Tosvos Ika Beinayu.
As a note, Steinsaltz has a different take on why Sli and Kadera.
Yeah.
It's not a question of quantity. It's a question that for Sli, the salt falls off, so you can't find a day in advance. He's saying that you never know how much salt you need when you're roasting, because the salt falls off of the roasting.
Was that for kashrut or is that for flavor?
No, he's talking
about... Well, he doesn't say kashrut here. He's talking about cooking.
Yeah.
And a kadera, you know how much you need because it goes in the pot and stays
in the pot. Yeah. So he's not on kashrut. He's on cooking.
He's on
cooking. A very different way to take a look at it. Okay. Fine. Interesting. Thank you. So if you take a look at Tosfos Ika Beinayu, he talks about the practice, what actually happens in terms of this. So I'm going to jump the first five lines in it only because they're not so relevant for us directly, to Upasak Ri. You see that? Tosfos Ika Beinayu? Okay. So he says, Upasak Ri, the Ri ruled, Sheyesh Lasor Bechol Inyan, Da'azlinan Lechumra. We prohibit none of this. We go strictly, meaning going with the views of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda that we said before. I can't tell. Well, he's even before that whole brisa. So he's not. It's not that he's going to be strict like Beis Shammai. No, but in terms of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, who were commenting on our Mishnah, when our Mishnah said that everybody agreed that salt required a shinui, and the question was, what's the rationale? And two opposing rationales were presented, and we did not indicate which one was right. So the Ri said, follow both rationales.
But he says, yesh l'asor b'chol inyan.
Yeah, but when he...
You can't use it even with a shinui.
No, because he's commenting on those two pieces. When he says b'chol inyan, what he means is... maybe I should have read the first five lines before it would have clarified it further. But his point isn't to say that. His point is to say that the two different answers that were given for why distinguish between salt and spices are both right. Halachically, and therefore, if I knew that I needed it the day before, I can't grind it up on Yom Tov. And if I knew that I if it wouldn't have lost its taste by grinding before Yom Tov, then I should have just ground it up and had as much needed and as could thinkably be needed, and that's it. So the Ri requires both. Ava Gav. Even though when you're dealing with derabbanans, we usually follow the lenient view. Since each of these arguments of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda involves both leniency and stringency, right? If I say that the reason is you could have known in advance, then that provides a leniency where I couldn't have known. If I say that the reason is because it wouldn't have lost its taste, that provides a leniency where it would have lost its taste. So he says, therefore, we're going to follow both of them to be strict. The leniencies will still be retained. Meaning, in the event that you have something which, number one, you didn't know how much you were going to need, and number two, it would have lost its taste, if it had been done in advance, then he's going to be okay with you grinding it up on Yom Tov. The leniency is retained. So he says, don't look at this as going l'chumra. It also still retains the kula. Umihu. However, he then says, wait, not so fast. However, shumin, garlic, mutter l'takna b'yom tov below shinui. You would be allowed to grind up garlic on yom tov, no shinui required. Mibneshim is kalkalin b'yoser im yasa osan me'erev yom tov. Because it'll lose it entirely. If you do the garlic before yom tov, it has no taste.
Is it any different than tavlin?
Yeah.
Well, garlic is one of the tavlin.
Yeah, so why does he mention garlic in particular?
Because that was known among them as something that that they felt would lose its taste.
But everybody held the tavlin, you don't have to, you could grind it that particular day.
I mean, he said no.
The tavlin?
Yeah. He's talking. Yeah, he's saying garlic is unique. Just wait, we're not done. No, he's still mitosvos. Okay. But yes, he's saying all the spices are going to be off limits unless you know it will lose its taste, and you didn't know how much you were going to need. He wants you to satisfy both of those explanations in order to be okay. But he says garlic is a different story. Garlic, even if you knew how much you were going to need, he's willing to allow you to grind it in advance because garlic will just lose its taste. But then he has a second reason, which is very funny to see in Tosfos. There is this idea of not leaving garlic, once you've peeled the garlic, not leaving it overnight. So he says, you know, we don't want to leave the garlic out overnight. If you ground it up the night before, now you have a problem. So therefore, we're going to say, okay, so grind the garlic on Yom Tov. So he doesn't say which one is his real reason. Is his real reason because it loses its taste quickly, or is his real reason because he doesn't want you grinding the garlic and then leaving it overnight? But that's...
Loses its effect against vampires, or what?
They
held up, by the way, as well.
Separate discussion. So it's just very interesting because in terms of certain aspects, certain things like Yiloi, we do find a view expressed in Tosfos, well, we're not concerned for this, we're not concerned for that. The things have changed. But on this point, he mentions it. Umihu mehai pisco lo nafik lon midi. But then he says, forget everything you've just said. The whole thing from the Re, he says, that doesn't actually affect us at all. Nothing emerges from that. Why? Because we follow Shmuel anyway. Forget, in other words, we're dealing with Rehuna and Rechista, we're commenting on the Mishnah. The Re is concerned about their view. But we follow Shmuel. So he said, and you crush things normally. Where we saw in the Brisa that we said everything other than salt, salt fine do a little bit of a shinui by inclining the mortar. V'chein pasak rav alfas, and he says the Rif says that as well. De ha'il, and now I have what does the Bach have? The ha'il de shaklu v'taru amorai. Right, Aliba the High Brisa, back in the Tosfos, since the Amoraim had this whole debate within the view of the Brisa about what to do, even though the mission is different, we follow the Brisa. In other words, what he's saying is important from a methodology standpoint. Usually, Mishnah versus Brisa, the Brisa gets steamrolled. The Mishnah is more authentic. Rebbe canonized it. The Brisa could be out of the Mishnah for any number of reasons, including it may not be legit. So normally, Mishnah steamrolls Brisa. However, since in our Gemara, they go on to discuss Shmuel's view, and you get the statement about inclining the mortar, and you get the story of Rav Sheshes. So he says that indicates that we actually follow this Brisa. So ruled the Rif, he says.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that this was not assembled correctly? Like you're saying methodology of learning.
Yeah.
So does that mean that there was a mistake in the printing or the way things were ordered?
But then the Brisa's tradition of what Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai held is considered more accurate than the Mishnah's. Something went wrong. Yeah. V'chein pasak Rav Yehudoi Gaon, b'halachos p'sukos Rav Yehudoi Gaon, gave this as well. V'chein yesh minhag halacha l'maisa, and that's in fact what we do. Da'ach mel satalia ba'ashli rabavi, because we're depending on great figures who in fact ruled this way. So he says,
this is not the read, this is some other commentary in Tosfos that basically
that is addressing it. Right, this is narrator in Tosfos. Umikol makom, however, asur litchon pilpulin berechayim shelahem. The one thing he says he doesn't want you to do is use a pepper grinder. He says, don't use the normal mill for the pepper. Mishum demechzi ke'uvda dechol. Separate issue. It looks like uvda dechol, like a weekday style activity, k'shetochen berechayim, when you're using a mill. Shakorin, and he gives you the name that they would have used for a mill. He says, we don't like things that are like a mill. Kedis of a pair their base, the Gemara further on in the Masechta, Abul the Madoch Shaleben. But if you're going to use a stone mortar, even though that's the normal way to grind up things in general, Mutter Leduchan Beloshinoi, that you'd be allowed to do. So he wants you to use something other than the pepper mill. Va'af Lepirish HaTosfos Daz Lina Lechumra. And he says even within Tosfos, by which he means the Re, who says that we're going to be strict. Mikol makom shema de pilpulin mutarin. The maybe he would permit pepper. Hecha deloy, meaning the re would have permitted pepper, not with a mill. He's not talking about a mill, but just generally pepper. Hecha deloy yada mai kedera boy levashuli, where you don't know what you're going to want to cook. Lefishein mefigin taman, because they lose their taste. Upilpulinami mefigin taman. He says, you know that pepper loses its taste, because when the Gemara wanted to give an example of a spice that doesn't, it mentioned saffron, it didn't mention pepper. So he says, that shows you that they know pepper loses its taste. Aval, lefima shapirish b'shem ha-gedolim, v'kaimalan d'chol ha-nidochen, nidochen k'dargan, yesh lahatar afilu ki-yada ma'i-kedera boi l'bashule. He says, the re would only permit if you didn't know beforehand how much you were going to need. However, based on what we've now said, following Shmuel, because of the rift, because of Yudaigon, so at this point we're going to say that you can do it, you can grind it up, even if you do know what you're going to cook. Va'afilu lo meifik tamo, and even if it doesn't lose its taste, it doesn't make a difference. They've just permitted everything. Va'amachmer leduchan me'erev yom tov har mebiyachad yisbarach be'lokimu b'shem ha'miyuchad. There's very odd language here in this Tosfos. He says, but if you're careful and you do it before Yom Tov, you'll get a bracha from Hashem and with the Shem HaMiyuchad, the holy name of God. It will be a good thing.
So what are you saying? Pepper, you can or can't at the end of the day?
So the upshot is you can, just not with the mill. That's the only thing he doesn't want.
He mentions a little comment here about the front there. See, I am Marshall.
Yeah. I didn't take a look to see if you want...
I think he mentions... pepper, so.
It's done well,
yeah.
In this other spot, actually turns out that it's a gzera on the mill.
What do you mean?
Okay, he said, what he says is that to do melach for the sake of cooking is permitted kadarka, and that's what Shmuel is talking about here.
Yeah.
But to do it for the sake of kashrut is not, because that you should prepare in advance as a different type of salt. You can't do mill
itself. He's commenting on the Gemara or on Tosfos?
No, on the Gemara.
On the Gemara. Okay. That makes sense.
Melech, you can't do mill by itself because they may think that you're doing mill for kashrut.
Oh,
and
that's
not mill for cooking.
That's interesting. That's his own, or is he quoting somebody?
No, the prince came too small. Okay, Shirley.
Yeah, the marshal hasn't changed anything here.
He
just has a little nami mefik tamo.
I can't read it.
I mean, because he does change the wording a little bit, but
okay. Charlie said he's quoting the run.
Okay. Well, I'll have to take a look.
Is that the way we paskin that you can't use?
So I brought you on your sheet. If you take a look at source Aleph. Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ve'in shochin es hapilpulin b'los hachardol b'rechayim shalahem mishum d'havi ke'uvdin d'chol." He says, "Pepper and mustard should not be ground up in their standard mill. That's uvdin d'chol." Ella, that Ella is a weird word. It's not clear whether that's Rama or it's printer or who put in the Ella, but it doesn't change anything for us. Dug osam b'meducha k'chol ha-tavlin, you grind it up in a mortar, just like other spices. And the Rama writes, u'miyunogin l'shanos k'tzas b'dichas tavlin v'chein roi lahoros. And the Rama says, you know, we do a little bit of a shinoi. That's like the inclining on its side of Ravacha Bardala. We're still going to try to do some kind of shinoi in the matter.
Even for spices,
which is consistent with what we've seen. That's not surprising. So it appears. I mean, the Rama is certainly.
I thought they permitted to grind pepper in a pepper mill on.
Sorry, doesn't sound like it.
I'll have to go back to the more recent sources.
Go for it. If you find anything different, let me know.
Okay.
Yeah. In terms of the Ran, that's the Karkom. He quotes the Rif. Yeah, I think I looked there. I didn't see him make any distinctions. But take a look. Yeah, there it is. No, but that's not in terms of kashering. It's a separate point. Yeah, I don't see anything here from that standpoint. I'd have to look at it more closely in order to really see. But I don't see him mention anything about using the salt for kashering here. Interesting. Okay. So,
You need the salt in order to.
No, you can grill it.
You can roast it.
Yeah, but even if you roast it.
Or use the salt that you had in advance. Yeah. Like, no one asked you not to grind up salt.
Before you have to prepare it anyways.
Yeah. Okay. So, the Gemara then moves into a discussion about another grinding issue. It's not really grinding, it's making groats. So they're going to talk about tisni. Tisni was a porridge that they made out of cracked wheat. You take the kernels, you crack them in two ways, three ways, four ways, they can write different words for each of them, and you cook them up into a porridge. So Tana Rabbanan, it's 10 lines up from the bottom, approximately. Brisa says, Ein osin tisni. You're not allowed to make tisni. And when he says you're not allowed to make tisni, what that means is to do the cracking of the grain for this purpose. Not allowed to do that. Vein kochin b'machteshes. And you're not allowed to grind up in or to pound in a mortar. End of brisa. So the Gemara says, we didn't quite understand that. Tardi. You're saying two separate things here. Meaning, you're saying don't make tisni, which implies that you're not allowed to do tisni, this type of cracking of it, but other types of cracking of grain you would be allowed to do using the mortar. And then you're saying, don't use a mortar at all. So how am I supposed to understand what you're saying in this brisa? So the Gemara explains, Hachik Yomar, this is what we're actually saying. Matam ein osin etisni, lefish ein kochin b'machteshes. It's really one statement. Don't make tisni because we don't want you using a mortar. To which the Gemara then asks, "Velema in kochin b'machteshes." Then why don't you just say, "Don't use a mortar," and be done with it? No, itani in kochin b'machteshes. Had it said that, hava amina hani mili b'machteshes gedola, I would have said that's specifically a large mortar. Avo b'machteshes ketana, ema shaver dami. But if it's a small mortar, I would have said, sure, go ahead. You're allowed to use a small mortar. Kamash malan. So therefore, it needed to say it in this way, in order to teach me no mortars. That's his statement. It's saying. If you would have said. Right. It's saying that by saying don't make tisni and don't use a mortar, it's showing that I can't use a mortar of any size. Rashi explains why that is. If you take a look at Rashi, he says, Kamash Malan, Rashi is about 8 lines up from the bottom, Ein osin tisni klal, lafisha in kochin shum kitisha b'machteshes, he says, we don't make any tisni, because you're not allowed to grind up at all in a mortar. V'hach machteshes abkarchech loshna gedola v'loshna kitana, midatani resha ein osin tisni klal. From the fact that we said don't make tisni at all, flat, that means you can't use any type of a mortar. Had you just said don't use a mortar, I would have thought you meant a large mortar. Small one maybe would be allowed. By saying don't make tisni at all, that means that when you said don't use a mortar, it means don't use any mortar. That's the idea as Rashi explains it.
So why do they have to add kosher mateches then?
Because if you just said that you can't make tisni, I would have thought you were allowed to make the other kinds of groves. Shilka, daisa, whatever. Sorry?
Even though the tisni is the most cooler one.
Is it?
Well, it's the first part of the process, right?
What do you mean?
Why would you pick up tisni as an example? Why would you use any of the other processes as an example? Why pick tisni?
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting question. So the answer I'll give you is what Rashi says on Tarti. Now Rashi says on Tarti that the Chilka and Daisa don't involve as great a strain.
Right. So that's the exact opposite of what you'd expect. Because you think you'd start with the one which involved the least amount of strain. Even that you can't do. Kalva Klamer, you can't do any of the others.
No.
Under Rashi.
No. Because what he's saying is, by telling you don't do tisni, which involves great strain, I might have thought that you're still allowed to do the other two.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You don't need the seifa if you just simply pick the easiest one and say, the easiest one and say, you can't do that.
So in other words, why didn't they say, don't make daisa?
Yeah, and then you wouldn't need the seifa. You basically say, well, I can't do that, I can't do anything.
Because I would have thought you can make daisa in a different... I would have said you're allowed to make daisa in a small one.
You are allowed, according to Rashi.
But...
Only
where do you see
another lamp?
Where do you see that?
The continuation of Rashi.
Which Rashi?
Shnei Tarti.
No, Rashi says there, the Tarti, meaning you're saying two opposing things. On the one hand, it sounds like you're saying don't make tisni, meaning you are allowed to make Chilka v'daisa. On the other hand, you're saying don't use the mortar at all, which makes sound like you can't. You're not allowed to make Chilka and daisa. So... that's where they state the contradiction, to which the Gemara's answer is, the reason why we worded it in this way is to teach, we don't want you using a machteshes, whether it's large or small.
For tisne.
But he says afilu tisne.
For anything.
Which implies that the others can be done in a, well, he says afilu tisne, right?
Right, which I would have, because tisne was
can
the one.
In a small pot.
No, what I think you're
if tisni is the hardest one,
yeah.
Why would he say a filu tisni?
I thought that the machteshes only applies to tisni, but I say you can do because it's the other work, tisni. But the others you're allowed to.
What he's saying here. Well, first of all, no. Cause at the end of the day, we're not going to distinguish between types of work, between how hard it is or how easy it is. But when you say afilu, Alan, when he says alkatana ema shapir dami, I would have thought you could use a small one, even if I want to make tisni, I would have said a small one is fine. That's what I would have thought, even though tisni is the one that is the harshest of the bunch. I might have thought that would have been. I might have thought that would have been okay. Had I not said don't pound and don't make tisni. Again, if I say, I feel bad like spelling out so much on this one because we're going to throw it out in another line. but the idea here is, if you just said don't use a mortar, I would have said you can use a small mortar for anything, including tisni, and that's your afilu. By saying, don't make tisni and don't use a mortar, we're saying don't make tisni at all, regardless of the size of the mortar that you're going to be using. Had you just said, don't make tisni, I would have said, that means that I am allowed to make the other kinds. So we need don't use a mortar in order to teach me, no, don't do the other kinds. And had I just said, don't use a mortar, I would have said, you can use a small mortar. Therefore, I said, don't make tisni.
Which involves less tircha?
No, I think it's probably just shinui. You're making smaller quantities. The
why does he say what the last thing he says? Avo kuchik b'tana. He says the havei koliachigam in a elo with tavlin.
Oh, so what he said? He says the shinui. Sorry.
He says the achigam in a.
Yeah, no, because normally it's used for spices, which you grind small amounts of, as opposed to porridge, where you need a lot of groats. That's his point. But this is the way to look at it. The only question I suppose that remains is, well, then why didn't you say, instead of saying don't make tisni, and this is I think what you were asking, say don't make chilka or don't make daisa. Because you have left the door open. By saying don't make tisni and don't use a machteshes, somebody could argue that it's specifically tisni, but that daisa would be okay if you used a small machteshes. Someone could have made that argument. It's an interesting point. I mean, again, this is all going to get thrown out, you know, in the next line. But it's true. It's an interesting question. The Gemara asks, "Vahatanya in kochin b'machteshes gedola, while kochin b'machteshes ketana." I have a brisa that says you are allowed to use a small mortar. So that just threw out everything that we just said. So Amar Abaye, Abaye answers, "Kitanya nami masnisa machteshes gedola tanya." Abaye says, "You're right. Our brisa is actually making two separate statements." He says the one was no tisni. That's number one, and number two, it was saying the don't use a large mortar. Small mortar is fine because, as we said, it's a shinui.
So say no tisni, no matter which type of mortar. Mm-hmm. And when it says mortar, it just means
a large mortar.
But you'll have to make daisa in a small mortar.
So it would appear.
Yeah.
Makes more sense.
Rava gives you the third. Yeah. Rava gives you a third approach, which is the halakha. Rava Amar Lokasha. Rava says, that's not the answer. I'll give you the answer. The answer is halan v'halahu. He says, there's a difference between our situation and their situation, meaning the Braisa is indeed making one statement. The Braisa is saying no tisni at all in any size mortar. We don't allow use of a mortar. We don't want you making tisni, you know, at all. And yes, you have another Braisa that says you're allowed to use a small mortar. However, the small mortar is Bavel. The Braisa that said no mortars, that's Israel. Small mortar, that the one that says small mortar is fine, that's Bavel. What's the difference between Israel and Bavel? So, I brought you here on the sheet a few different sources. First look at Rashi and our Gemara. Rashi and Tosfos take one view. Rashi says, Halon, this is for us, meaning Bavel, Deles Lanavi de Mezalzali. We have no Avadim who degrade Yom Tov regularly, and therefore we know everyone's going to be careful, so they use a small one, they won't use a large one, and Yom Tov will be preserved. Halahu, as opposed to over there in Israel, De Islahu Avdi de Mezalzali. They have Avadim, and the Avadim don't take Yom Tov seriously. Ba'osin b'gedola ba'omer b'ketana asinu. They're going to use the large one, and they'll tell everybody that they did it in the small one. We don't trust the Avadim. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosos has it as well.
Are you talking about two different time frames, or do you think you're talking about the same?
No, same time frame, yeah.
They had Avadim in those days in Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, you didn't have an Ivri, but you would have a Kanai, which is the one that you're right about being Mezalzel. The Radvaz doesn't like anything about what we're going to say, so just know that. But that's Rashi's approach, that's Tosis' approach. The Rambam's approach, I brought you in source base on your sheet. The Rambam writes, in kochenes harifos v'machteshes gedola, you're not allowed to pound the grain to make these groves in a large mortar. Kochen v'machteshes ketana, you're allowed to use a small one. Shezeu ashinu shalak, because that's your shinui. Uberetz Yisrael, afilu b'ketana asur. In Israel, even the small one is out. Shatvua shalahen tovahi, because their grain is good. Vein kochen osa me'er of Yom Tov, they won't lose anything by doing it before Yom Tov. Their grain is a better stock than the grain in Bavel. That's the idea. That's the Rambam writes. The Ravid in the small print in Source Vase says, no, I'm sorry, that's not the story. He says, Eretz Yisrael afilu b'ketana asur. Amar Avram, ein hadas nocha mizeh hatam. He says, I'm sorry, that's an unsatisfying answer the Rambam is giving. Aval anshe Bavel ikar tavshilehen daisa. The issue is that in Bavel, their main staple is this porridge that they eat. Sha'ochlin bohalechem, they eat it with their bread. Vayu osin osa b'meducha b'machteshes gedola. And they'll use a large mortar in order to make it. U'machteshes kitana harehi lahem shinui gadol. And therefore, if they use a small mortar on Yantif, that's a real shinui for them, because they never use a small mortar for groats. Aval anshei Eretz Yisrael, but Israelis, da'ilam koyam kitana, they use the small mortar every day. Ve'in ba shinui, so therefore there's no shinui. So he gives an entirely different approach, the Ravid does for all of this. So, yeah.
Except why would that be a valid comment? In other words, shinui could just be printed at an angle. In other words, if the whole concept here is shinui,
yeah,
then in Eretz Yisrael, they could use a small, but angle it. I mean, we've talked about shinui already.
It's an interesting point. You're right. We'd use a different shinui. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting point. Well, the Radvaz throws all of this out the window in Source Gimel. He says, Ubatamo shall davar namru kamad davar. He says, various explanations have been given for this, for why we distinguish between Israel and Bavel. And he first quotes you the Rambam. Kiramam kasav lefishat mushlam tova hidim kochino samer of Yom Tov emekach hefsid, right? There's no loss if you do it before Yom Tov. Vekosha ksas al zeh. Sheyesh kama ratzo shat mushlam yoser tova vein behefsid klal. He says, it's not an Israel thing. There are many lands where their grain is good enough that if you grind it up on Erev Yom Tov, your groats will be fine on Yom Tov. But afilu tamod kama yamim ein behefsid, it can last many days. V'lamiya mutar afilu ayidei shinoi, so I should be mutar at all, even if you do a shinoi. V'su, and further, shani roa b'mitzrayim, sha'osin osa afilu kama yamim ein behefsid v'lo shinoi tam. He says, here in Egypt, we do this all the time, grinding up well in advance and leaving it for days and days. Vesu, the Maishna Merkadas HaKemach Da'asira, he says also, they're going to prohibit flour, the sifting flour, right? So why are we going to differentiate between cracking the grain and making the flour? You're going to permit one and not permit the other. If someone wants to bake on Yom Tov. So he rejects Rambam's approach. He says, I don't understand this distinction about the grain in Israel versus the grain somewhere else.
This is after the days of the
The Radvaz, 15th century.
Yeah, and even the Rambam.
Well, yeah, the Gaonim are done by 10th.
Yeah, so nobody could write to them after.
Well, beginning of the 11th.
The green.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's long over the Gaonim. But he says, maybe your groats are different from my groats. No, none of that. And then he goes into the Ravid. And he says, Gama tam shekasef ha-Ravid's alinu misyashiv kokach. He says that the Ravid's answer doesn't really work well either. The Ravid being the one who said is about how they usually eat. You know, in Bavel they usually use a lot, and therefore the small one is a real shinui for them. He says, V'chim ebnei sheb b'nei Bavel ikar tavshilei en daiso machteshes ketano ulehem yu kol ha'ola mutarin ava pishen ochlen daiso pam b'yovel. He says, I didn't realize that phrase, once in a yovel, was such an old phrase. The Radvaz says, you know, when we say ha'lan v'ha'lehu, the distinction is not Bavel versus the world. The way it's done is Bavel represents all the Jews in Golos versus Israel. And he says, what you're telling me then is that Jews around the world are going to be able to do a shinui of using a small machteshes, a small mortar, even though they never eat groats. So it's not a big shinui for them. And if you'll tell me, well, outside of Israel, there are, you know, all sorts of places, and if you'll tell me, in fact, that it's not Babylon and the world versus Israel, but indeed every single place is going to be done differently, then the language in the Gemara is wrong, that it's about Israel versus Babylon. We always follow Babel, not always, but you know, the same Halamatar. So he doesn't like the answer given by Rabbi either. And then he takes on Rashi, who said about the Avadim. He says, you can tell already where he's going to go with this one after what he's already done. Gamatam shekasav Rashi's al sheishlam avadim harbe. Right? His point about having avadim there, many avadim, vishartha b'ktana yasu b'gidola yom b'ktana sinu adka. Ha nechbosu zman shaylam avadim harbe. Maybe that was true then when they had many avadim. Aval ha'idnomai, but what about now? Vesu da'avikin gzera l'gzera. It's a double prohibition. Right, we're not going to let you use the small one, lest they use the large one, which in of itself is a lest they leave their malacha for Yom Tov. Although, granted, Rashi didn't think that. Rashi thought it was a Deoraisa. Right, we had a discussion last time. Vesud gam beBavel hayu ashirim gedolim v'rashi goliyos. He says, you know, you had real rich people in Babel who had avadim too.
See, when he says avo itna mai now. Is it to say the halacha or the minhag should change because the circumstances change? Is that what the rabbis holds?
I mean, that's consistent with Tosfos here, right? When Tosfos, well, it's not even Tosfos, it's the Gemara. But Tosfos' explanation, Rashi and Tosfos in their explanation of the Gemara took it as a given that the Gemara is saying it's different in different places because there are different circumstances.
Even if whatever place you're using for comparison changes as well, you should also change the
Because the way it's framed is not as a takana for a particular location. It's not framed as we're making a decree for this is how it should be done in Israel. We're maybe framing it as this is what should be done where there are avadim.
You know, he says we should follow Babel. We always follow Babel. What if the custom Babel changes? He's saying it doesn't change it too.
I don't understand.
In other words, what happens if we get a better quality wheat in Babel?
So again, because you're pinning it to a factor,
yeah.
Then the idea of being dragged after a particular locale is invalid.
Right.
Okay. That's really the idea, I think. So he then says, I'll give you my explanation. Od chidashti anitam. I have my own explanation I came up with. Ki b'nei Babel mefunakim hayu mu'unagim. The people living in Babel were pampered people. V'lo hayu rotzim l'trach harbe. They didn't want to work a lot. V'hayu osim tisni shalahem hayidei umnim. B'makom miyuchem b'tchinas hakamach. They had their growths done commercially. Yet somebody whose job it was to grind up or to crack the grain and make growths. V'cheinu ad hayom v'mitzrayim, until today, here in Egypt, that's what we do. V'darkam lasas ma'ateshes gedola, and they normally use a big mortar, because they're doing it on a commercial scale. U'lefichach b'yom tov, osim b'katana, shi shinui, so you can do a small one on Yom Tov, because that's a real shinui. It's not just a minor change to how you're doing it. It's radically different. It's never done in a mini one. You know what it's like? It's like when we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about dush, right? There's a difference between threshing something on the open floor and taking beans and pulling them out of a pod. You know, it's an entirely different scale of operation. So that's what he says. Ubnei it's Yisrael tarchanim hayu, but Israelis, you know, they're the chalutzim over there. They're going to do it all themselves. They're not going to some, you know, expert professional groat grinder. The darkam lasas kol ish v'beso v'ktana. Everybody always does it at home. The takes care of making his own growth. So l'fichach asurim v'yom tov, and therefore you're not allowed to do it on yom tov. Avila v'ktana shein shem shinui. Even if you're doing a small one, because there's no shinui involved.
It's interesting because historically it was the exact opposite. The community in Babel is extremely poor by and large.
When you're how far back are you going?
Time to the Gomorrah. You know, Pompidisa was extremely poor city. People yeah. lived on this kutah, right? They couldn't right. barely get by. Whereas there's a show talked about that. Why did that? All of the people lived at a certain time.
That's an interesting idea. They
were much more prosperous.
Maybe.
They lived much better.
Maybe. Okay, so there's a story left in the Gemara that we have to get to. We'll hold it, I guess, for 2 weeks from now. But there's a great story coming in this Gemara. All right. Sure.